Okay, good evening, Abba Yisai. Good evening. We're up to Siman Shin Chof Beis. We'll be learning Sif Hei. Beis Hashem, there's two important topics here which need to be discussed. This will then move on to Sif Vav, which is a new topic altogether, and then we'll be ready for Siman Shin Chof Gimel, which is a new Siman altogether. There's a lot of single units over the next few days. Some of them we have come across in the past, some of them are brand new, but they're all really, really important. So we're going to be learning Sif Hei. Sif Hei has various points that we've discussed in the past, but there's additional elements here which we're going to discuss a little bit. Sif Hei, which page? It's page 304 in our editions. Mutal Taltel, Atzei Psomim, Loriach Bohem. Atzei Psomim, which are spices. So you're allowed to take them, you're allowed to move them, you're allowed to hold them. Loriach Bohem, to smell them and to create a nice smell. Lehonif Bohem, Lachoyle. If you've got an ill person, we're now moving on a little bit. We spoke about a choyle, an ill person. We're going to move on now. Carry on talking about the choyle. And in line with the choyle now, he may feel a little bit rotten, he may feel a little bit I think you want to make him smell good. Smell is one of the senses that will improve a person's general well-being. And therefore, by giving him, by taking some atzei psomim and wave it around him, he'll surely feel a lot better. So you have to do that on Shabbos. Mutar le'taltel atzei psomim l'riach bohem ve'lehonif bohem l'choyle, like snufo, lehonif, to wave for the choyle, for the ill person. Not only that, but also v'moydeloi l'riach bohem, moydeloi means to rub these psomim for creating a nice smell. Echot koshim, whether they're hard, ve'echot rakim, whether they're soft. So we're learning now over here, you'll have to take those spices, wave them and rub them to create a nice smell for the choyle. Very good. What about, it would appear that it is for the choyle only. So I'm going to start with your point because you mentioned it. In Sefkot Tezayin, he addresses it precisely your point. And Mishnah Berurah says, Sefkot Tezayin lechoyle, hu adin levori. Elo urcha de milzen. Okay, he says, no, this is not just for choyle. Hu adin levori, also for a well person. So why does it say choyle? Elo urcha de milzen. Okay, it's just that normally you'd only do that for a person who is unwell. But yes, certainly it will be true also for a person who is healthy. But you normally end up doing that kind of activity primarily for somebody who's not well. But yes, it will apply to everybody. What is exactly moedeloi? If Kot Nuzayin Mishtabura tells us, explains, melila hain, what is melila? What is melila exactly? Mishtabura explains, shemoedeloi ben etzboi, so he rubs it between his fingers, kedei, in order loi, tzirechoi, for the good smell to come out. So this is what you're doing over here to create a nice smell. Now, the Mishtabura's, the Shulchan Aruch told us that this is true for koshim and rakim, for soft and hard ones. We're now going to have Mishnah Berurah over here, who goes into additional halachas over here about this. And again, we have mentioned them in the past, but Mishnah Berurah brings it in Sifkot Nutches. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nutches, I'm not skipping. Hainu afilu koshim she'enu murim klal le'maichel behema. Even if it is hard, it's not necessarily edible for animals. Nevertheless, you'll have to rub it and create a nice smell. Filochimut le'kotmon le'fashach bohem kol ma she'irtzila to rub them. You're allowed to scrub it, you're allowed to do all these kinds of things in order for the smell to come out. Ben Shepashach, it's got a little cotton, whether it's a fresh tree or a little bit older, bigger, smaller. Fedavke b'chol zeh shurek lehoi sivriach al edem melil v'aktime, aval also lehoi lidriach. So this is only if you've got it in your hand, and what you're doing, and this is really important now, because we're going to go speak about many contemporary shyless. So we're allowed to take this wood, this branch, now to rub it a bit and the nice comes out. What you wouldn't be allowed to do is to take it and to rub it against your suit. Why are you allowed to do that? What's the difference in rubbing it next to the choyla or taking it and rubbing it on your suit or on your trousers? What is the difference?
Or impregnating the material with a smell.
And therefore?
And
that is also because of... Absolutely correct. This is the Issa of Moilid Reach. Here we go again with the Issa of Moilid Reach, which is literally means creating of a smell. And this is the Issa here again. So it is true, you're allowed to take it and rub it. and the smell will come out. But if you're taking it and you're rubbing it on an item, on a material, on a fabric, there's some of the smell will go into the fabric, into the material, and that will be also because of moilid reach.
אבל also לא לדריח כי לא ניח פסם בבגד וחדומה כדי שיהיה בגד מריח also. That will be also. To mention again, perhaps two shailas. What will be the halacha with regards to? I think we did mention it, but just to recap, because it is negate what we're saying over here. If you've got a toilet, besides the other shailas. If you've got, let's say it's there's no shiloh of tzevea. If you've got the toilet, what are they called? The air fresheners, but not the air fresheners. The air fresheners that just go in the air. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones which are in the actual toilet. Often they'll be colorful, but and that's the shayla tevea. But never mind that. I'm just talking about it. Let's say there's no shayla of tevea, just the actual
smell.
You know the old fashioned. I don't know if they're old fashioned, but the ones that you put in and then whenever you flush the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Is
they cover the brias?
Cover the brias. You're saying you're applying what we learned. Last week, cover the brias. Perhaps, it's an interesting svara, and I didn't think of that. Lemaisa, in principle, we have to appreciate that it's an issa of moilid reach over here. Because what you're doing is, that is a perfume, a very, very strong and intense perfume, which will go into the water, and that is moilid reach.
Tzevea,
yeah, perhaps as well tzevea, but unless it's...
So, presumably, one of the questions is it constantly... underwater, or
you're right. So yeah, you're perhaps right. We could argue that if it is constantly in water and it's not, you're not causing anything by flushing the toilet, then you're not doing anything. So it's there from Erev Shabbos, so it's fine.
The reason I ask is because lehalacha, it's very lemaisa. You can now buy these cistern blocks that look very similar to the ones that you had in a plastic cage that hung under the bowl, but here you put them at the top where when you flush. The water is already perfumed.
Okay, so what you're doing, well, it's about flushing the toilet, it will get empty and refill. So right. But that's very, very indirect. You see, that's just grammar. Well, is it? You're not directly adding perfume to the water, are you?
Probably, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how low it gets. It might be that depending on how hard you flush, it might not ever completely empty.
Yeah, okay. But the point I'm making, if you've got a scenario, you're right, these have to be investigated, but that if by flushing the toilet, what you're doing is directly perfuming the water, that will be awesome in the Rabbanon because of Moili Reach. As to whether potentially covered abrias applies, perhaps. As to whether it is not direct in its grammar, no. Perhaps. But in principle, if you appreciate the shayla here, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not saying there's no heter, I'm saying that he has to be
cold.
I'm saying that there's a shaila here. I don't know what. Well, if they're constantly in water, then this point is that.
It's inside, it's still in the bowl, yeah.
Whenever you flush, and it creates a perfume in the. I don't know.
It's like finished already,
that's
why I just left it in there.
So that's that. Another shayla Rabbi says with regards to mouthwash. Now there is the old the mouthwash which I remember as a child. I haven't seen him in years. The triangle ones, which they also kosher le Pesach. Do you remember the triangle ones? There's like a little tube coming out. Do you remember those? And you had to put a few drops of them in a little bit of water. Do you remember those? I don't know what it was called. A mouthwash for Shabbat. The only one that I remember that was kosher Pesach. I was talking about in Switzerland in 19. So the shayla of the mouthwash used to be like a small triangle, kind of used to be about this size. And the only one that was kosher Pesach. And then you take the tube and everything, put a few drops of that in water, a bit of water, and that's how you used to the mouthwash. Do you remember that? Was that a Swiss-only product?
Just Swiss.
Yeah. Swiss only, okay. So imagine, Rabbi Isai, if you've got a mouthwash which is not just one that you take, you know, you can just use the way it is, but you must add It's very. You need to dilute. You need to add a bit of water to it. It's a few drops, and then you put a little bit of a glass of water, and that's how you use it. Shaila is obviously it's got a strong, nice smell, very strong, but it's a nice.
Not necessarily.
Okay, fine, but it's. I suppose there's a purpose why a person may want to use mouthwash. So the shaila is as to whether this is mutter to do or not.
Presumably, the same shaila exactly would apply to squash. If you can make squash and Shabbos, because again, you're adding water to a strong thing that you're diluting.
So the shaila specifically in the case that I'm mentioning now is because of molidrach. Molidrach is making, like we learned in our sifta, to take this psalmim and rubbing it onto the fabric is also because of molidrach. You are creating a good smell into the material. That is also because of moedet riach. If you're using it in your hand, it's fine. But if you're doing it in the fabric, it is also. Similarly, also, if you're taking a liquid substance and you're adding that into water, that will boss whether it is a toilet or whether it is this mouth freshener, which you're adding a few drops of that into water, that makes a very strong but good smell. And the whole purpose of that is for the good smell. That will be moedet riach. Squash, therefore, is not for the smell, and therefore it will be mutter.
No, but this isn't for the smell either. Mouthwash is not for the smell. It's for the antibacterial things that kill the bad germs in your mouth, which produce the smell. You're not going to get rid of the smell by just having the smell.
Yeah.
You're going to get rid of the smell by killing the bacteria.
Yeah. It's a good smell. I think that's a valid smell.
The products today, you don't have to have hands.
Yeah, so if you don't have to, so that's fine. So you're not doing anything. All you're doing is you're taking it and using it. That's fine. No moedet riach. For shaila, yeah, that's right. That's definitely okay. That's certainly okay. The question over here is moedet riach, because you're adding a very strong substance into water that would be the shaila. You're saying you're not doing it for the smell aspect, therefore it's mutter. Okay, I hear that. It's actually a very valid smell. You're not doing it for creating the smell. It's just to do it. Yeah, the mice, I know that.
You're doing it to make the water smell, you're doing it to make your breath smell.
Okay, that's a Pshem Zaman Svara. Pshem Zaman says that perhaps it is mutter. Yeah, Pshem Zaman says that because you're only doing it, you're not doing it to create the smell, it's only for preparation purposes. You're not doing it, so it could be that it's mutter. But I can hear, yeah, you're not finished your act by just putting the substance in the water. You're creating something which you're going to use as a mouthwash. So that's the Shlomo Zalman Svar that is matir, but other poskim are machmir. Good, we can continue. The Mishnah Berurah goes into another subject altogether. Completely new subject, and the Mishnah Berurah he says Ve'agav. I'm continuing Mishnah Berurah where I stopped. Ve'agav da'irinon b'shulchanoch. That's really important for our bottles and our cans. Rabbi said we're now going to move into the cans and bottle shailas. Ve'agav da'irinon b'shulchanoch l'nchituch v'ktima be'inyan aruch le'behem v'atze psomim. So now that we discussed a little bit, we're going to go now to a different topic altogether. Says Mishnah Berurah. Now tignami b'zedim elechz mechatech b'shad varim. Let us speak about mechatech. Let us speak a little bit about mechatech. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Mechatech means literally cutting. Cutting. But it is different than kira, which is also cutting. In what way? And he explains as follows. Mechatech is, ha mechatech oir, somebody who cuts skin, leather, hide. Oy kol davar shod mechatech, umakpit al midosoy. These are the three key words. These are the key words. Mechatech is by definition somebody who is makbit, careful, al midosoy, on the measure. If you're kareya, in order to, you're tearing something apart, that's kareya. Mechatech is not so. Mechatech is if you have got a very specific intention in terms of its measure, in terms of its, the way it's meant to look, into its shear. Al midosoy. There's something about its measurement. If you are tearing something, if you're tearing a bit of leather, because you're trying to create a garment or a piece of anything which has got a specific purpose, and you're trying to go and have a certain shear, a certain measurement, and that is mechatech on a Torah transgression. Makbim bein eitz or matches, whether it is wood, matches metal, or afilu noitzel shelo, even if it is feathers, and you're cutting it in a certain shear, in a certain measurement. Then, since you care, and you've got distinct idea about how about its width, no matter its length. Choytech bekavonon, you're cutting with intention. Chayv yechayv on a Torah. But if you're just cutting in a negative way, in a destructive way, so you don't care about how long it is, how wide it is. You don't really care. Hello, kamisasig. Just the way it's coming out. It's coming out. It's fine. Okay, mesachig. Just because you're playing potu, you're potu. So it is about clear intention how you're cutting it. How you're cutting it. If you have a certain intention about how you're cutting it, you're chayev. The Mishnah Berurah now continues and said, "My yofelin olah neviim, and how great it is what the neviim said." Vechachomenu zechayin v'achom, which also on mekach mekach b'shabbos. The whole reason why mekach u'memka is also on Shabbos, why buying and selling and business transactions also on Shabbos. Shepa'omim shiocholov olidichiyuv chatos, because if you're doing business on Shabbos, you're likely to end up doing ichiyuv deraisa. Kigon shemoicha is schoire, because we are selling merchandise. You are selling some items you end up mechatech memenu lefi midas hatzorich lodichai mishu mechatech. The whole reason why mekach u'memka is also rabbi say on Shabbos. The only reason why it is also to do business on Shabbos is because when you normally sell merchandise, when you sell shmatas, when you sell something, normally you're going to have to cut it in a certain amount. That's the whole idea, right? You're selling it per meter, per inch, per something. You're going to end up cutting it in a certain way.
What's the reason why you might come to write down the
that as well. That as well. That's all true. But also is because you're going to end up cutting in a very specific way. And that is why Mekach u'Memka is also on Shabbos. Because of Otu Mechatech. You're going to end up cutting in a very specific measurement. Base. We have to do this line. Yes, Mechatech is when you're cutting a certain measurement. And it is applicable to all the items, such as metal, feathers, leather, any material. But the exception is, nobody comes to food. So when you're cutting a cracker, or a matzah, or whatever it is, and it has a certain shear to it, like it's already a perforation, and you're cracking it, do you know sometimes you've got chocolate, very good. Much better example. Much tastier example. Yeah. And you're cutting, yes, and you're cutting it according to the pre... And yeah, but wait, so that will not... Mechatech doesn't apply. So if that would be made out of metal, if that would be non-food, and you'd crack it like this, according to the perforation, according to its... That would be mechatech min ha-Torah. But since it's a oichel, it's a food, it's mutter. Not that one, it's mutter. Because ein melechez mechatech shaykh po oichlin. Okay, and finally, Siv Gimel, that's the last few words we need to see. Him melechez mechatech udafka bekli or yafilu biyad. There's the discussion as to whether mechatech is only with the kli, or also with the hand. And Rabbi said the maskon of the poskim is that we're also chayef biyad or bekel, even biyad. Bekel, it doesn't make a difference. If you're cutting something according to a very specific measure, you're chayef on a Torah level. Yes?
It says that you tear things
kemesachek. Kemesachek, yeah?
It says pots. I mean, pots are what?
Yes, it does mean that.
So,
this leads to that one. Yeah, so if it is, you're right, so at times it will be muta. At times with mutter, if you've got no purpose whatsoever in it, in the mechatech aspect of it, in the opening aspect, the Mishnah says if you want to get to something which is inside it, in order to get to the ego is in the middle. If you're cutting something in order to get to something, that's mutter altogether.
Like sometimes children are just messing around and tearing. Should you tell them to stop doing that?
Yeah, so whether you have to tell children, that's another. If an adult does it, yes, the answer is yes. A child does it, then you have to know it's chinuch age, not chinuch age.
I think here is anything, it's masach et potter, no?
It's potter of losso, yeah, you're right. No, yeah. It's potter of losso. Rabbi Sain, I'll tell you why this is really key. Yeah.
So, Shana, my sir. So, pulling bits of cotton wool off a long roll of cotton wool, is that mechatech?
I just saw that cotton wool is also including mechatech, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I just saw that. I just saw. But I don't know if everybody agrees to that, but certainly some poskim hold that it is. I don't know if that's the everybody holds like that. Rabbi Isai, this is where it gets very, very, very debated shaila, and that's the lid, the conventional lids of the bottles, normal bottle, and you're opening up. So that's the very, very big shaila that every posik, every great giant, every good, every achren. I mean, that's. The famous Abshalom Zalman, the famous Rabbi Yashiv, the famous Dayan Weiss, the famous Moshe, they all discuss these normal Coke bottles you're opening, and that's one of the main shailas that is discussed over there. One of the main shailas is a very technical question. Is this considered mechatech, yes or no? The argument that it is mechatech is that by opening the bottle, what you're doing really is you are opening, and then what's happening is they've made it a little bit easier for you, but it's a very fascinating technique, but you're tearing it in a very specific place, and in order to have
the rim
coming off. The rim really is a protection for it to be not opened, and it's about that. But when you're opening, what you really is going to mechatech, because you want it in a very specific place. You want it there. You want it there. You want to be cut right over there. And therefore, you could argue, and many achronim do argue, that it is mechatech. No, it is not. I challenge you to eat that lid.
To get to the food.
Yeah, but that's not the p'tur of what we're discussing here. We are discussing ein melachas mechatech shaych be'oichlin. It's about the actual food. That's the chocolate that he mentioned. That's ein mechatech be'oichlin. Over here, it is in order to get to food. Who says there's such a heter? Who says such a heter? So that's why many poskim hold that opening a bottle, you're playing with the deraisa of mechatech. Others will disagree. And what will they disagree?
About the
very good. Absolutely. That's what Abshalom Zalman said, that this is a misconception. You've got mechatech over here, because you don't really care about. Mechatech generally is about you want to cut in a certain place, in a certain way, because you want it, it needs to be cut like that. Think about the person who's cutting the leather because he wants to create a shoe. The person who's cutting through the metal because he wants a certain object. That is mechatech, because he needs to go. Here you don't really care about where you want, as far as you're concerned, you want to have the lid and you want to have the coke. So you don't really care where it's cut. It's true. It's inevitably going to be like that. But ultimately, it's not mechatech, because mechatech is about kavona and intention of a certain place, and you don't have that here. Yeah.
You're talking about a can or a bottle?
No, so far I'm talking about the bottle. Let's move on to the can.
If you haven't got it before Shabbos, you're breaking the seal at the top. Can you do that on Shabbos?
What, the wine bottles with the cork?
Not with the cork.
Without the cork. Yeah, the grape juices and stuff. Same shade of metal. Absolutely. And perhaps the difference in metal and plastic. One could argue there's a difference. But also the way they've been done. Because the metal ones, in terms of mechatech, there's no difference. But in terms of makabe patish, the metal ones, they have never been separated. The way they're put is literally, the way to picture it is by having aluminium and think about just a metal which is pushed on top of the glass, and then it just created that. They're different than the plastic ones. The metal ones, they've literally been pressed onto the top of the bottle. But the cans, of course, the cans are very important. Shaila, Coke can. You're pressing it up. Now here you can really hear why it's mechatech. You can really hear why it's mechatech. Why can you hear why it's mechatech? Absolutely. You're cutting it in a very specific shape. Don't tell me that you don't care.
You want the hole, you don't want the material.
Yeah, but you want to cut it in a certain way.
You don't really care about that either.
Oh, so perhaps someone could argue, but let's go slow, because in print, yeah, you're right. But what we're talking about over here is you've got this metal, you know the cans, you're pressing it open, and
you'd have to press actually something, just tear the
so maybe tear, but either way you're opening it in a certain, a very specific place.
Just put a knife into it.
Yeah, so if you're putting a knife in, that's for sure okay. So you don't care about the measurement, you don't care where it is, but by opening the can, you're certainly perhaps doing perhaps one could argue you're doing a mechatech, because it's certainly in a certain shear, in a certain middle, you want to go against along the perforation. But then again, one could argue, and that's what some poskim do, that it's not mechateich, because you don't really care which. If it goes a little bit, if it goes out of shape and you don't really end up having a corner perforation, will you care or not? You probably don't care. And so you could argue that's not considered mechatech properly. But it is certainly one of those very big machlokes amongst the contemporary poskim. And the debate continues. But according to some, it's one of those things, according to some, your mamash have got the reiser. According to some, you've got hetogomo, it's mutter. It's one of those things, but I'm just trying. The purpose is just maybe to explain why some really hear why some feel that it's a bit of a deraisa.
You're going to throw the can away after.
No, in terms of mechatech, it doesn't. That's true in terms of makim bepatish. That's but in terms of mechatech, it doesn't make a difference. Right, so it's certainly advisable those who can open on Thursday. I'm saying I think that everybody. Is it true to say that everybody agrees that it's better to open up? Maybe Solyanka Fisher maybe would have said you don't need to bother, I don't know. But I think that generally, if a person has got a spare 5 minutes, it's probably advisable to open it before Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we covered this evening numerous points. We started speaking about Shulchan Aruch, started off about the Atzei Psamim, to wave them and to roll them for Choyle is Mutter. We said not only a Choyle, but also for Bori. It doesn't make a difference. As long as you're doing it in the air and your fingers, that's Mutter. As long as if you're doing it on a fabric, on a material, you've got Moel Yach, which is also. We then moved on and we spoke about the Mechateich. Mishnah teaches us we have three key yesoides, key points, essential points. One was that mechatech is with every material, as long as you makpid al midoser, keywords, makpid al midoser, wood, metal, feather, you name it. As long as you care about its shear, you're chayav min haTorah. The second point that Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah taught us, is that melechus mechatech does not apply to foods. And finally, the Mishnah Berurah taught us that mechatech applies both by hand and with a keli. These are the Mishnah Berurah's points with regards to mechatech. And Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll be talking about completely different point of Sivav, which is about mechalik monos b'Shabbos. Okay, good evening. Oh, yeah.